When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pitched a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Right there, 102. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. I was just talking to Marco. Went to a game this weekend. Went to a Yankee game for the first time, he told me, in like a decade. Went with his brother-in-law and his nephews. And, of course, he saw the Luis Gil game against the Orioles. It was 100 degrees and over 10 minutes into the game. And he had to sit there as the Yankees get pounded. That's a tough game to go to. I've been on, it's a short streak, but the Yankees have won two games in the last week. I've been to both of them. Those are the only two games I went to two. I'm 2-0. When I'm not there, I got to get back there. They need me for good luck. I went to the first game against the Orioles, sat in the press box. I told you I sat next to Joel Sherman and was too intimidated to introduce myself at all. And I shouldn't say intimidated. It's that he's busy. Like, he's writing half the time. I don't know. It was my first time really hanging out in the press box. I had never gotten press credentials before. This is my first year getting, like, season press credentials. So I did talk to Andy Martino, because he was nice enough to, through Sal Licata, give me a copy of his book, so I wanted to thank him personally. But you know, I'm sitting next to Joel, and we actually, like, communicated on a couple of, like, plays that happened. We're like, oh, yeah, oh, who's on deck or whatever, because when they had the injury to Judge. But I didn't, like, hey, Joel, Chris McMonagle, how are you? WFAN. He is busy. I don't want to bother people. But it is awkward to just sit there and not introduce yourself. I'm a weird guy. Do you ever, like, get into a conversation with, like, a group of people at a party or wherever, and just think, well, these are adults. Like, I'm a kid. I'm like a young idiot. This is like, they're talking whatever. They're talking money. They're talking things they're doing to their yard. They're talking all whatever. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't belong in this adult conversation. Let me go sit at the kids' table and just have a hot dog, because not that I can't keep up in the conversation, but it just feels like, as even though I'm 40, I still feel like I'm 18 years old, just older. That's just an insight into my life. I don't know if you feel that way, but I still feel like there are adults who have serious things going on, and then I'm just a kid who has to talk about sticky stuff on Edwin Diaz's hand. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just one of those things. All right. But yes, he is going to be suspended. Edwin Diaz, if you haven't seen, the 10-game suspension for the foreign substance. I mean, it says for foreign substance. But I don't want to get into it. It still bothers me. I'm still hung up on it. I know I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be hung up on it. But I heard a caller say something to either Keith or Evan. I can't remember now. But it's so true, where it's like, if rosin and sweat are legal, then how can too much of it be illegal? Like, it's just dumb. Like, if it's too much, allow him to wipe his hands clean. If it's something else, then preserve it and see what it is, like, so you could test it or something and find out for sure if he's cheating. Because if he's not, you just gave the Mets 10 straight games without a closer and with only 12 pitchers on their staff instead of 13. Like, it's a severe penalty for the Mets going through this stretch. It's just, the whole thing is dumb. The whole thing is just, it just bothers me. I don't know why I'm hung up on it, but I am. And then the other thing I'm hung up on is the Stanton stuff. Because I know he's not going to be in this. He's important to the team. They've lost Rizzo. They've lost Stanton for a while. DJ LeMahieu looks like an absolute shell of himself. The offense is definitely going, this is going to be the biggest test of this offense. And there's going to be certain people, I'm going to get into it in a second. There's one name I'm looking to step up, and we'll get to it at some point during the show. But the thing about Stanton is, because I hear all this stuff, Like, I just want to make sure everybody understands something. All right, and he doesn't need me to defend him. Giancarlo Stanton works his ass off. All right, it's unfortunate, and it's 100% true. For his body and his soft tissue injuries are borderline absurd for someone who plays professional sports and has the body type built like an Adonis that he does. But I'm tired of hearing, well, doesn't he stretch? Get him out of the weight room. This and that. Like there's some sort of answer. The dude pulled a hamstring jogging around third base. Okay? This is not a guy who sits on his ass. This is not me suddenly getting a call from an old buddy saying, hey, I need an extra guy for softball, and showing up and sprinting to first and tearing a hamstring. This is a professional athlete who gets worked out every day, who you know, probably hasn't had a cupcake in 17 years, who works his ass off, who tries everything, who transformed his body to try not to get an injury, who did everything he could to avoid this. Okay? This is not Giancarlo's fault other than his body betrays him. Okay? His body betrays him to the nth degree that is borderline impossible, that is extremely hard to understand. I was at the game. I watched him. He jogs everywhere. He doesn't run. I don't think he'll ever run another day in his life. He doesn't run. He jogs. And the idea that he pulled a hamstring at the point where he's going to miss 4 to 5 weeks is borderline unbelievable. But I hear too many people either blame him, blame the Yankees. The dude, the reason why he's walking and jogging is because if he did run, my God, his leg would fall off. I don't know what happened to him. And I'm sorry. I heard Boomer say this morning. I've heard other people say it about this guy won the MVP. And here comes the Brian Cashman defending. You ready? Here it comes. Who had the pool at 109? You win. This guy won the MVP playing right field every single day for the Marlins when the Yankees traded for him. Every single day. He's built like an Adonis. Could you possibly see him slowing down in his old age, becoming a DH? Absolutely you could. But there was no way to predict the level of ineptitude of his physicality when the Yankees traded for him. The guy played outfield every single day and won the MVP. And within 2 or 3 years, he was unable to run. And now it's 6 years later and he can't jog. If you expected the Yankees to borderline figure out that Giancarlo Stanton was going to go from everyday outfielder winning MVP to, you know, a little bit lesser defensively outfielder to pretty much DH to can't run to can't jog in 5 years, I'm sorry, I don't know how you could have expected them to see that coming. And if they did, and if they should have, and if it's of your belief that they should have seen it coming, well, God help us with Aaron Judge, because he's got the same body type. God help us. And I don't remember everybody being all upset when they gave Judge a $360 million contract. So let's cross our fingers and hope that the same thing doesn't happen with Aaron Judge. Because if you think the Yankees were stupid and couldn't see it coming and, you know, shouldn't sign guys like Stanton, well, let's just hope Aaron Judge doesn't fall to the same fate, because the dude's built almost exactly the same. So let's just be fair about it. It's not Stanton's fault. It's not the Yankees' fault for not seeing it coming. You could argue it's the Yankees' fault for not building a better team or jettisoning him if you believe they should just eat the money and jettison him and bring in somebody else and pay somebody else and do something else. Okay. But if you think they should have seen it coming, I don't know how. And if you think Stanton's not working his ass off, he is. He's betrayed by his body at a ridiculous level that's hard to fathom. It's honestly impossible to fathom. And now that we've got all that out the way, I will say the other thing that kind of hasn't been said. As much as we all are frustrated by it, and as much as me more than most, I said it the second he went down, the night leaving Yankee Stadium, I tweeted it. It's not so much the 4 weeks, it's how long until he gets his swing back. But having said that, if Jason Dominguez, who was Brian Cashman and the New York Yankees fallback, let's not pretend they didn't have a fallback. They did. The young phenom coming off Tommy John surgery, who was ready and back and killing it in AAA, who then pulled an oblique muscle. And he's going to be out probably, hopefully, longer than Stanton. So there was a fallback to this. They knew it could happen and had a young phenom waiting in the wings who was unbelievable at the end of the year last year. But I will say this. It's not terrible timing. I'd rather have it now than at the end of the year. This is plenty of time, even with Giancarlo taking forever to get his swing back. If the swing ever does return, if he does manage to come back in 4 weeks and then take another 2 to 3 weeks to get his swing back, that still puts you in the middle of August, which, let's be honest, as of right now, unless the team even falls off the map even further, they are going to be in a playoff position. Maybe not division leading, although Baltimore lost to a team that I don't even know how they... Do they even play baseball in Cleveland? I was told I can't count them, and yet they're beating the Orioles. It's very weird. Again, very troubling. Our Pets' heads are falling off. Baltimore is losing to Cleveland. It makes no sense. But I would still expect the Yankees to be in a playoff position once that happens. And make no mistake, I don't know when Dominguez is going to be back. I don't know what he'll be when he is back. And just because he was great last year does not guarantee him greatness this year. The Yankees need Giancarlo Stanton. They need him desperately. And if they're still going to be in a playoff position, which I would almost for certain say they will be, come the first week of August, the second week of August, when he's back, and then hopefully the middle of August, by the time he's getting his swing together, it's better now than after the All-Star break. It's better now than later in the year. And the Yankees are just going to have to figure it out and pick up offensively. And I will tell you after the break who my number one guy is who needs to pick up his offense in the absence of Giancarlo Stanton.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, let's go. 120. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. And I mentioned the Stan thing, and you know why I had a complete, you know, mind-numbing moment again. I forgot to bring up the reason that started all this Stanton anger in me. Was reading a tweet from one Jonathan Papelbon. And if you don't remember Jonathan Papelbon, good for you. I'd like to forget him. But former closer of many teams, but namely the Boston Red Sox here in this town. We remember him as the closer of the Boston Red Sox. We remember him as the closer of the Washington Nationals, getting in the face of a young Bryce Harper. Kind of just an overall, you know, jerk. And likes to be so. And he came out with a tweet today about Giancarlo Stanton that's just trying to be a jerk for no apparent reason. I don't know what Giancarlo ever did to him. I'd have to get to the bottom of it. And again, I don't know maybe there is something there. I don't remember there being an issue. I don't believe they ever played on the same team. But this is what made me, to go along with all the people doubting whether he cares or tries or whatever the case may be. But this is just ridiculous from Jonathan Papelbon. So I know I've seen him in different places. The what's the podcast? Fair Territory, right? With A.J. Brzezinski, and I've seen Todd Frazier on it. Anyway, I think I've seen him on that. But anyway, So this is his tweet today. I guess he had a bet about over-under on Stanton home runs. So this is Jonathan Papelbon today on X or Twitter. Finally, Stanton goes on the IL. This is what my under in his home run total for the year needed. I knew he couldn't last all year without landing on the IL. Is this 8-9 years in a row? Take your time, Mike. I mean, Giancarlos. He puts an S at the end of it. Take your time, Mike. I mean, Giancarlos. Don't need to rush back. What a jerk. What an absolute jerk. First of all, respect the man. His name is Giancarlo. I understand he went by Mike for a time. His name is Giancarlo. It's just blatant disrespect. And I don't know what Giancarlo Stanton did to deserve it. And then rooting for injuries. I mean, sometimes on the borderline of obnoxiousness, these players defend each other, love each other. We just talked about it with the Yankees and the Orioles and the lack of rivalries. It doesn't feel the same. There's no Munson Fisk. There's no Bird Magic. There's no, although they became friends later on, obviously. But there's no real bitterness. There's no anger. There's no Jordan rules. There's no, like, real feel of hatred. Even, I mean, for baseball and Yankees, because we're doing Papelbon and Stanton, like, I mean, maybe 03, right? With that, those two teams, 03, 04, Red Sox, Yankees didn't like each other. Whether it's Pedro throwing Zimmer to the ground and Clemens throwing at Manny, not even at Manny Ramirez, but Manny Ramirez getting pissed at it after Kareem Garcia took one from Pedro, like that whole thing. And then obviously 2004 and Veritek and Rodriguez. So like there was bad blood there. I don't know if there's been bad blood since really. But we talk about all the time about how players, well, now it's a union, it's a business. These guys get together. They're in their meetings. They just, you know, baseball in particular just tried to save the season, and they're arguing with each other and they're fighting against the owners. They're all, you know, all one team. And sometimes it's obnoxious. Sometimes they're too friendly for our liking, exchanging jerseys after bitter losses in the NFL. But this is a former Major League player showing absolutely no respect to a current Major League player. Zero. Calling him by the wrong name intentionally. And taking extreme joy in an injury that's going to cost him a month of his season. What an obnoxious jerk. That's it. I'm not going to call him any other names. An obnoxious jerk. And I have no idea why he chooses to be this way. But I think it's kind of his MO his entire career, and he's leaning into it. So what are you going to do? But that, I just, and it's the name too that really bothers me. Calling him Mike, it's one reason to be specifically disrespectful. So that's what got me all riled up today about Giancarlo Stanton. That tweet, along with hearing, you know, all the, does he even work? Does he even try? Does he stretch? Maybe he should do Pilates. Yeah, like, I know, the guy from the couch calling in to WFAN knows better about what's good for Giancarlo Stanton's hamstring than, you know, Major League Baseball trainers. The guy just has hamstrings that go. It's a matter of time. Brian Cashman told us before the year, everybody was waiting for it. We were hoping, don't get me wrong, we all had our hope that maybe this would be the year he'd make it through. And with every day, it felt maybe even more likely. But ultimately, we knew this is part of his game. He's going to get hurt. He can't jog around the bases without getting hurt. It's unfortunate. But it's at the point where it's really no longer his fault, other than if you're going to blame him for his own body. It just is what it is. His body betrays him. And there's nothing they can do. And it's not the Yankee trainer's fault. And it's not how much many weights he lifted. It's just it's went too many times, and now it goes really easy. He's just got one of those body types. He's got one of those hamstrings. He's got one of those calf muscles. They just go. And so now, so must he for a month. And who needs to step up in his absence, you ask? Well, clearly Juan Soto, right? At someone who's slumping a little bit, but they're going to need Juan Soto to be Juan Soto, and he still kind of is, but his on-base percentage through this slump is .430, which is amazing enough. But I'm looking at a certain player named Gleyber Torres. And I know Gleyber Torres is almost a dirty word at this point. Everybody wants him off the team. You got to find a way to trade Gleyber. He's just he's a detriment. He's going to blow it in the big spot. His defense is going to just, you know, end up being a disaster. And who knows, that might all happen. But Gleyber Torres is off to a terrible start this year, right? Offensively, he's hitting .218. He's got an on-base percentage of .296 and an OPS of .634. All of those numbers, just giving it a quick look, would be the worst of his career. The worst of his career. So now, if you believe in a walk year at the age of 27, Gleyber Torres is going to have the worst year of his career, then we'll see what happens. But I don't. I don't. So when I look at his numbers currently being at the worst of his career, I think the best of the season is yet to come. Because I don't expect him to have the worst year of his career at 27 years old. I just don't. And if you look at his numbers last year, when Judge wasn't there, when somebody needed to step up and carry the New York Yankees, now he's not capable of doing it, and we saw it wasn't good enough without Judge. You can't rely on Gleyber Torres. They lost the way they lost, and they faded the way they faded, and they didn't make the playoffs. But that's not because he didn't step up and play his best baseball. It's not Judge-type baseball. It's not Juan Soto-type baseball. It's not Alex Rodriguez-type baseball. It's not all-star Hall of Fame, carry a team, middle-of-the-lineup thumper-type baseball. But it's something that can make up for the loss of Giancarlo Stanton and something that can help this team immensely. And as much as I've told you, I don't know if he's a winning player. I don't think he is. And as much as I will totally admit, this is not only do I think it will be, but I want it to be. And that's not a kind thing to say, but it's true. I want it to be the last year of Gleyber Torres on the New York Yankees. I don't think they can pay him. I don't think it makes sense, especially if you're trying to keep Juan Soto. I think Gleyber Torres needs to go. But having said that, if you look at his numbers last year, when Judge wasn't around for all that time, when this team needed someone to step up and be their best hitter, as DJ LeMahieu was still floundering with a foot injury, when they were playing guys like Jake Bowers in the outfield and Franchy Cordero and that miserable lineup. And sure, he was not good enough to make it anything other than miserable, that is true, but he hit .273 last year. More than 50 points higher than he's hitting right now. His on-base percentage was 51 points higher than it is right now. His slugging percentage was almost 80 points higher than it is right now. And his OPS was almost 170 points higher than it is right now. Last year, Gleyber Torres was a very competent, borderline all-star caliber Major League Baseball player. .273 with an 800 OPS. He hit 25 home runs and drove in 68 runs. That is a Major League Baseball player. He also struck out 98 times all year. He has already struck out 76 times. The New York Yankees, while Giancarlo Stanton is down, need last year's Gleyber Torres to show up. That's just the plain, simple truth of it. And I know I listen to the calls, and I know Yankee fans, you want Oswaldo Cabrera in the lineup. And I'm not opposed to it. And we're going to see if J.D. Davis can come through and be something for the New York Yankees, especially against left-handed pitching. And sure, we're going to see the young Ben Rice hopefully play more. Because I like what I've seen from Ben Rice. I feel good about what I've seen from Ben Rice. But I can't trust Ben Rice to be an 800 OPS guy right now. We have seen Gleyber Torres have three Major League Baseball seasons in his career of 800 OPS, including last year. If there is someone who is going to step up over the next month and a half or however long it will be until Stanton comes back, it is going to be and will need to be Gleyber Torres. Now is the time. And we will find out whether or not Gleyber Torres is a winning player, because he's going to get moved up the lineup, especially with Verdugo slumping. He's going to get moved up the lineup. His importance in the lineup is going to be obvious. He doesn't need me to say it at 1:32 in the morning. Everybody knows how important Judge is, how important Soto is, the difference Verdugo's brought, and he's in the middle of a slump. Volpe at the top of the lineup. And maybe a lot of people won't say this because they don't have faith in Gleyber. And they don't believe in Gleyber. And I understand I'm limited in my faith, but now is the time. We saw it last year. If there is one player the New York Yankees need over the next month, it's Gleyber Torres. And we're going to find out whether or not that player exists. We're going to find out whether or not they can turn to Gleyber Torres in times of need. Because this is it. He needs to realize he's playing for his career. He's playing for his next contract. I don't think it will be with the New York Yankees. But you know what? Middle infielders who make boneheaded plays on the base paths, who make errors at inopportune times constantly, who hit .218 and have a .634 on base percentage due, they don't get paid. That's for sure. They don't get paid. Gleyber Torres is going to be in the middle of the lineup with RBI opportunities and going to be relied on heavily. And if he doesn't show up for his Yankees, that will be his lasting image. That will be what Yankee fans remember most. Number one, the ultimate disappointment he was as a player. And number two, in his final season, while the Yankees had the best record in baseball for a time and were at the top of the division, when they needed him, he wasn't there. And at the trade deadline, everybody's going to be clamoring for him to get traded. I don't see how that happens. I mean, is there some world where a trade for player and need for need inside a pennant race at a trade deadline is possible? I mean, I heard Evan mention this before on the show earlier today. There's been a couple, right? Cespedes got traded over to Oakland from Boston from Detroit to Boston, excuse me. Like, there have been some trades, player for player, but very rare. And I just don't see it happening for the New York Yankees. Gleyber Torres is here for the year, and he's going to need to step up. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Speaking about trades, I mentioned a trade possibility for the New York Yankees about 2 weeks ago. And I was scoffed at, and I was laughed at, and I was told, it's not possible, Chris. It's not possible. That player doesn't want to play here. Well, he just gave an interview, and I'm dying to tell you what he said.
Manning takes a knee, and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Off the mighty Patriots, 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Boom, boom, ba-boom, ba-boom, boom, boom. Oh, you know what? I gotta find the song. Because I heard a song I hadn't heard in forever at Yankee Stadium the other day, like in between innings. I think it was the first Baltimore game I went to, and not Saturday night. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? Yeah. So Tuesday night when I went to see the Orioles game at Yankee Stadium, they played a song. I gotta find it during the break. Or maybe you could look it up, please, if they have it real quick on YouTube. I don't know. I gotta look. It is the hold music for the old Super Nintendo game GoldenEye. The video game GoldenEye, which was, in my memory, and I'm not the biggest video game guy. I'm not. Haven't been. I'm a sports video game guy. Occasionally, my sister got me into Tomb Raider. So for when I was younger, I would play Tomb Raider a lot. And then Metal Gear Solid, the earlier versions. I didn't get, even though I know Kiefer Sutherland, I can't, that's something I never did. Kiefer Sutherland voiced one of the Metal Gear Solids like 5 years ago or something. I never bothered to buy it. I always said I would and I didn't. And then, you know, this is it. They played this at Yankee Stadium in between an inning. Wait for it to really kick in. This was the greatest. This brings back. Oh, yeah. Bum, 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 bum. This brings back so many memories of being in my buddy's basement playing GoldenEye on Super Nintendo. And it was, for me, it was the first real shooter game I played. And you would just, the game was pretty much, I forget exactly, like, I don't remember the levels of the game, but they had, it would be you versus your three buddies, and each, you know, it would be in the four corners of the television. And you would go around looking for each other to, you know, kill each other. And you would have different weapons, and if you had the golden gun, then it was just a one shot would get you. But it was just like this level, and you would play with your buddies and try and, you know, shoot each other or whatever. It was like the first real shooter game I remember. And we played it all the time. And I heard that, and I hadn't heard it in forever. And I heard that song, and I was thinking to myself, and I'm like, what is that? I know that. And then it came to me that it was the GoldenEye thing. And then I had, I Googled it, and it came up. And then there's like a guy who does a couple memes with it and stuff. Like, I don't know, like, it was, but that's nostalgia for whatever reason. I remember that, like, that would be, we'd be playing that game, we'd pause it, we'd, you know, whatever, eat lunch, hang out, do whatever, you know, nothing you know, wrong or illegal or anything. But we would go, that game would be on pause. We constantly played GoldenEye. Constantly. Always played GoldenEye. And that song, for whatever reason, that was like a wave. I've had two songs just completely have the wave of nostalgia all over me the last couple of days, or last week or so. That one, and then I saw a thing on Instagram about the Pizza Hut commercial where it's like the song about the kid playing baseball out in right field. I play right field out where the dandelions grow. I don't know why, but that, and the person who did the thing on social media, on Instagram or whatever, nailed it. It was like it was before one of the Ninja Turtle movies that I used to have, I had on VHS. I loved the live action Ninja Turtle movies from like the early 90s. You know, Ice Ice Baby, Secret of the Ooze. Well, you know, those were like those Ninja Turtle movies. They were great. As a kid, I loved them. And on the VHS that we bought, the commercial before the movie was this Pizza Hut commercial. And it was like about a baseball team and the kid who played right field. And he makes the catch to win the game. And then they all go to Pizza Hut. And I must have watched it a million times because I love that movie. And I hadn't seen it or heard that in forever. And then I was just scrolling one day on Instagram and it came up. I was like, whoa, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And then at Yankee Stadium, hearing that GoldenEye hold music. And I'm pretty sure that's what it was. I'm pretty sure it was the hold music. I don't think we played it. I don't think it was like throughout the whole game.
No, you're right. It's 100% the hold music.
Yeah, it's the hold music. Yeah, as soon as I heard it at Yankee Stadium, I was like, whoa. I know this.
Why were they playing it?
I don't know. Maybe it was like waiting. It was probably, I figured it was maybe a pitching change or something. Like you're on hold, you're waiting, you're paused. They must have played it maybe not in between innings. Maybe it was for a mound visit or a pitching change or something. But I hadn't heard that at Yankee Stadium. I don't know if that's new. That was the first game I had been to since opening day this year. So I don't know if they've been doing it this year, or maybe I've just been oblivious to it for all these years, and they do it regularly, and I've just never bothered to pay attention to it. But I heard that song, and I was like, whoa, I haven't thought about that in forever. Classic song. It's a real banger. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Maybe I'll find the Pizza Hut commercial, too. It's a long song, though. But it was some, and nobody else I've talked to remembers that commercial. Nobody. Even my buddies, who I thought for sure would remember it, they don't. I guess it was just me watching that VHS of the Ninja Turtles movie. I don't know. But what I did say heading into the break, and what I will say now, that's how a tease works. You tease it, now I'm paying it off. You get radio lessons, too, if you'd like. Sports reporter yesterday on Twitter told me I should be mindful of my audience. So I'll be mindful of my audience. There was a tease, and now I'm paying it off. A few weeks ago, I brought up a crazy, wild option for the New York Yankees as a target to trade, to look for at the deadline, as clearly the New York Yankees are looking for corner infielders. And since then, a lot's changed. A lot's changed, my friends. One, I suggested Vladimir Guerrero to be that trade partner. And since then, the Blue Jays are even worse. They have completely fallen off. They've lost, what, now 7 in a row, I believe? They are in last place. Vlad is not having a great year. He is still a very good hitter, but he is not the elite hitter he was a few years ago. He's not the guy who's an MVP candidate as he was a few years ago. Right now, his OPS is 774. He's hitting 279, which isn't bad. But his on-base, 363, not bad. His slugging's only 441. That's the issue for Vlad. You expect better slugging. He's only got 9 home runs and 33 RBIs. The entire team and offense has been struggling. And I would just think that if it were to be opened up to him, that a new change of scenery would be not the craziest thing. And for the New York Yankees, he's got a year of control next year. His arbitration numbers aren't crazy. I believe we said he was making $19 million this year, so maybe he bumps up to $22, $23 next year. And for on a short-term deal, I don't think that kills you in signing Juan Soto. You're not going to keep him long-term. You're not going to give him another contract. But for the rest of this year and then next year, I don't think it precludes you from giving Juan Soto a contract. It's a little more than you probably spend on a first baseman if they go to free agency or whatever. Ben Rice, obviously, at first base next year. But still, half of this year for the pennant race and then next year. And, you know, Cashman and the Yankees like to trade for those guys with an extra year of control. And plus, the Blue Jays are going nowhere. I don't know if they're going to want to pay him. They might break this whole young, you know, dads are formerly greats kind of core down, as they've already traded Biggio. And now I would think Vlad is available. I would even think Bichette, who's having a down year, is available. They might tear this whole thing down. Can you imagine they almost gave Ohtani $700 million if he would have paired it with the rest of this team? But so that was my suggestion. And it wasn't so much like the Yankees should do this. It was just food for thought. This guy might become available, and he's exactly what the Yankees would need. And I got so much blowback. Chris, not only is he a division rival, not only is he not having a great year, but you forget McMonagle, you idiot, you loser, you hot take huckster who only... do you actually think before you speak, fatso? Yes, sometimes I do. Don't you remember he said he would never play for the New York Yankees? Never! He hates the New York Yankees. If he were traded to the New York Yankees, he would retire before donning the pinstripes. Well, I thought that was a bit much. And yes, I remember the interview where he said he likes beating the Yankees, and I laughed at it because he never beats the Yankees. Not in big moments, not in key moments. He does not. They do not. They are frauds, those Toronto Blue Jays. Yes, they are. But oddly enough, while they're at Fenway, I see an interview right here. Mike Rodriguez on Twitter has it. And it's in Spanish. But he clearly says, if traded to the New York Yankees, he's asked, if traded to the New York Yankees, what would you do? You've been on the record saying you don't like the Yankees. And he says, pretty much, paraphrasing here, yeah, I know I've been asked that question a lot, and I'm a professional. And if they wanted me, clearly it's because they want me and because they need me. And, you know, I've talked with my family about the comments I've made about the Yankees, and maybe I shouldn't talk about that situation, but... Listen, I'm a professional baseball player, and wherever I'm sent and whoever wants me, I'm going to do my best to help that team win.
Well, what do you know? The player who has no control about where he gets traded or where he plays, even though he dislikes the Yankees for whatever reason and is on the record of saying he would not like to play for the Yankees, if traded there and thrusted into a playoff situation and a pennant race while his team is on a 7-game losing streak, would be a professional baseball player. What a shocker. So take that nanny-nanny poo-poo to all the people who completely bombarded me with, don't you know he hates the Yankees? He would never play for the Yankees. Yeah, he would play for the Yankees. Bet your ass he'd play for the Yankees. You think he'd trade? You think he wouldn't want to go to a first-place team and chase a championship, even if he hates the Yankees and doesn't want to sign with the Yankees long-term? He ain't going to pass up. You think he wants to just waste away in Toronto? Is that what you think? You think on principles he wants to sit in last place? And if they're trading him, they're probably trading everybody. You think he wants to sit in Toronto in last place while they just completely fade away and everyone around them gets traded? He'll come to the Yankees. Now, I don't know if they'll do it. And ultimately, I can't give up prospects as if he is a big-time player anymore, because as of right now, he is not. And honestly, last year he played 156 games, played a full season. He hit 26 home runs, drove in 94 RBIs, hit .264, and had an OPS of .788. That is a very nice player. And an OPS plus of .117. He had about 30 more RBIs than Gleyber Torres, but they're pretty much the same player last year. If you look at every other number, Gleyber Torres and Vladimir Guerrero had almost identical seasons last year. He drove in more runs. Their offense was more potent. It's a little bit, I'm not going to completely diminish it. It's an important stat, obviously, but it's a little bit of a team stat. And he clearly had a better offense around him than the New York Yankees. But he had one more home run than Gleyber, drove in about 30 more runs than Gleyber, but virtually the same batting average, virtually the same OPS. So I can't trade for him as a superstar. So my prospect, I'm not giving up, and I know that's what they would want. I'm not going to give up a Spencer Jones. I'm not going to give up my entire, I'll give up nice prospects for him and a year of control. But he's making a lot of money, and he hasn't given me a world-class season for a world-class season for 3 years and a good solid season, like an all-star season for 2 years. But it's something to monitor, especially if they're fading away and trading everybody, and they'll see the Toronto Blue Jays after the New York Mets series, after the Subway series.